Hi, everybody. I was really getting into that countdown music.
I know, it's like every time something new happens, and I'm like, ooh, gotta get used to this. I love
That
it.
was intense. It was like made me a little bit nervous in the end, but is anyone watching? Maybe. Welcome to Dishes and Dimes, another Dishes and Dimes Hoop Talks live
I know, got
lunchtime
me.
show. Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh no, our internet connections. We always like to get the technical difficulties out of the way at the
Am
beginning of
I?
the show. Oh, you're back, Noor. I think you're back. Geez, this is tough. Noor's frozen. I'm alone. Yasmin and Sandy will be joining us. Soon at some point. We got a whole rundown, mostly final stuff to talk about this episode. And oh, she's back. Thank God.
Never, not gonna let this happen again. I swear to God, I'm gonna fight my internet.
Was like, what will I
Katie's
do now to do this show alone?
we went from 4 to 2 to 1.
Yeah, this seems fine. Welcome back, Noor. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm
How's your
pretty
day? How's
good.
your
Can't
weekend?
complain. Good day so far. I was hitting up the Potter studio early this morning.
I have to make a purchase. I need to. I know what purchase I need to make because I have it figured out where I want it to, where I want it placed. But I
Okay.
just need to make that purchase with my mom because I'm waiting to see like which one she wants. Because guys, check out Katie's vases. Her Instagram page is Weird Vessels, I believe, and she makes the most beautiful pottery. Like it's out of this world. It's out of this world. It's local. It's handmade, and it's just amazing. Like it's that crucial piece that you need in your home. I'm sorry. She hasn't even plugged me to do this. I'm
No,
just,
but
I
I'm
look at it
glad.
and
This
I'm just
is
like, it's amazing.
better marketing than I
Yeah.
ever could have done. That's for sure.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Oh, hi, Evan.
she hear
Oh.
us?
Can she hear us? Probably
Sorry, I'm just trying to fix my earbuds.
This is a real, truly live show. I hope everybody realizes that, we're like gritty, real, troubleshooting in real time, technical difficulties. It doesn't
We
matter.
never
Nothing can
learn.
stop us. No, we never learn and we never choose to. We like to keep it real. Keep it really, really real.
Yas frozen? No, she's there. We're good.
She's half here. Yasmin, can you hear us? Don't think
Just
so.
once, just once. I just want the internet to be on our side, the technology to be on our side, the world to be on our side. But no,
No. I mean, this is
we'll
why we're
get
so resilient and funny and off the chat because of
there.
stuff like this, We know how to make
It's
it
making
work.
a difference. It's given us the insight that we never thought we would need. Look at us now.
Well, I guess we could start talking about basketball. That's what I don't know how many
Yes.
people are watching, but I hope that four people that are still watching, that's probably what they want to hear us talk about. So it's weird. I don't know about you guys, but I find it's like one, not Raptors aren't in it, so I find like rhythm is extremely strange for me of like the finals. And just because like we went from games all the time. I mean, I know this is how it literally works, but like going from games all the time to this, reminding myself like what time games are on. We lost Yasmin, she'll be back. But it's just felt like a weird, I'm like half in, half out of the finals. I don't know. How do you feel, Noor?
Oh, I don't think I've watched this. Probably I shouldn't admit to this, but I don't think I've watched one full game of the finals so far.
I mean,
It's
you're watching enough that you've got an opinion.
yeah, I guess so. And you know what? Like whenever you scroll the timeline, like you get the gist of what's going on too. But it's I just never thought that it would be the Heat in the finals. Like as I respect to them, respect to Jimmy Butler, as great of a team as they are, like I'm so glad that they are there, next to anyone else in the East probably, but I just never thought they would make it there. And I think the injuries of Dragic especially, and then Bam having to come back and having to find his rhythm, it's just not fair up against a team with the Lakers that's led by LeBron James and AD. And it just, like, you just have to respect LeBron's greatness because you literally get bored. You're just bored of his greatness. You're like, just take the chip, go home, beat Bronny's ass, and come back next season. Like, leave us alone. Like, stop with your reign.
I'm nervous for Bronny. It was his birthday yesterday, which is also how I knew. I was like, I think they're going to take this game, you know?
Yeah, for Bronny. He's going
to... For Bronny to accelerate LeBron being able to go home a little quicker and talk to him about his extracurricular...
Points. Yeah. He's got two gifts for Bronny.
Oh no.
We just don't know what the other one is.
Oh no. I mean, no, you make a really good point. It's like I am still so happy for the Heat. Like, I don't think it diminished them. I think they could still take a game, potentially, but it last night felt like kind of like getting over the hill, and now there seems like to be maybe an inevitability of like the Lakers just kind of wrapping this up. I really hope that's not the case. I think Miami's like full of fighters. I think Bam being back, I'm so happy Bam is back. Like, I know he didn't get a ton of minutes, and I was really nervous like Dwight Howard was just going to body him and like re-injure his like shoulder / neck, because it seems to have the injuries like is changed a little bit. So I thought that was going to happen, and he was just going to be like back to square one. But it made me so happy to just like see him in the game.
He's a really fun person to cheer for. Like, it's really easy to cheer for him, and he's 23 years old.
I know.
23. Yeah. Like, this is what you look like at 23. Like, I don't want to see you in a couple years. He's going to be Dwight Howard, but just on steroids, Dwight Howard. Like, imagine Dwight Howard, but Dwight Howarded. That's like, going to be him later on.
Than Dwight Howard. Maybe a little less evil. I feel like Dwight Howard is kind of evil. Bam's like, I think there was a moment, whether it was Dwight Howard or Markieff Morris, was like kind of getting chippy. And then like with, I think it was Jay Crowder, was like someone was getting chippy with him. And like Bam stepped in like between them and LeBron and was just like, please stop, don't.
Like, just sort of, like, respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully stop it.
Respectfully stop. No, I like him a lot. I think he's, and he's also their X factor. They need him to be able to win these games. But I also think that their biggest X factor is Goran Dragic. His playoff performance this past postseason has cemented his role with the Miami Heat. I know that we don't really, like, I don't really like him. I think he's a dirty player whenever he plays us, like, whatever. But you got to give him his dues. Like, he's been their X factor. He's been their difference maker. And it's actually broke my heart to like watch this video of him on the sidelines, and he knows that he's like worked up to this moment his entire life. This is first finals, and he's not able to play. There's nothing he can do about it, and that's heartbreaking.
Did you see the video of him in his room that he did? And he was like, his eyes were like red. It looked like he'd been crying, and he was just kind of like, I'm in so much pain right now. Like, I'm asking for help from the guy upstairs. I'm like, this is too much, man. Like, I've fully done a complete 180 on Dragic. I'm a Dragic fan now. I'm like, I'll support you. I want you to be healthy. Same. Like, I think you're funny. You're like not evil to me anymore.
This might change after a while, but for now, we're on a good page.
Probably when he plays.
I feel like that's been the story of the bubble, though. Like, just suddenly liking players that I otherwise despised in the regular season. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's happening a lot lately.
Yeah, totally. I mean, who are some other people that you, like, both of you have kind of turned around on?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm like, who's did I not like before?
I want to put you on the spot and, like, tell me who you hate. Like,
no, I think one for me is probably Alex Caruso. Like, I actually see him as, like, a really useful role player now. Before, I thought he was just, like, completely overhyped, might not be an NBA player, but it's clear he has a space in this league for himself. And also Devin Booker. Like, I feel like he had, I'm like, okay, this guy is, like, he's, like, I think the Suns are going to be, like, a surprise breakout team. I know we've said that for, like, years now, but I think it's actually going to happen this time.
I think Caruso, I'm still not sold on Caruso, mostly because I feel like I was talking to Dylan about this, and he was like, I think Caruso would be a lot less, like, I think he was like, I think he's fully not committing to shaving his head, like his, he's like picking his head because he wants to seem more like inconspicuous because, and like look weirder because of like his strange hairline. Yeah. I was like, that's an interesting take. That's an interesting take.
Like, oh, balding guy dunks. Yeah.
It's like the AD brow. They just want us to like have a brand. It's the Hollywood effect.
Yeah.
It's the Lakers effect for sure. The whole brand.
Kuzma has a shoe deal.
Oh my God, Kuzma. Have you heard about the relationship? Noor, I know you probably know that Kuzma's ex is dating Tyler Hero.
I wish we had Kelsey.
Yes. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Kelsey would be good for this.
You want to get messier. Apparently, yes. You know, Katie's like, yeah, let's go. So Karl Anthony Towns is dating Jordan Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Who used to go out with Devin Booker. And now Devin Booker is dating Kendall Jenner. And Karl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker are best friends.
Ooh.
Imagine these double dates. I don't think they would go on these double dates.
I don't think so.
But like, imagine.
Imagine the pillow talk.
Oh my God.
Messy.
These guys love the one girl.
Of them on the beach. And like, he looked so happy. And like, he had such tragic, like, I don't know. I feel like he deserves to be happy with like, hi, Sandy. We're just talking about player relationship drama.
My favorite thing.
Specifically, Karl Anthony Towns, Katie Jordan Woods now.
Yeah, they're cute. I like them.
They are cute. They're really cute.
But did you know that she used to date Devin Booker, and Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns are best friends, and now Devin Booker is dating Kendall Jenner? I love
the reaction.
I need to make like a chart for all these drama. They need to make some kind of reality show. I swear to God, like we would be hooked. They would have so many more women watchers afterwards.
Seriously. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. We were predictable. What else do you want? Should we dive into the season? Like get into the actual talks of basketball?
Yeah, maybe we should.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't done that yet. I can't believe.
Yeah, we're everybody here.
I thought they were in the thick of things. I came late.
No. We're just working on that.
Okay, so are we going to let's talk about the series.
Mm-hmm, this series. I mean, I do want to give a shout out to my best buddy, Jimmy Butler. 40-point triple-double, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. I don't know. I loved that game. I kind of knew. Obviously, something like that is kind of impossible to replicate again in a game. Yeah. The more like the wilder thing to me is also like none of those points came from three pointers. Like I don't know the last time you could say that in any game, let alone like a finals game.
I think there was like the only others were Shaquille O'Neal and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for 40 points in the finals without any three pointers. So that's not even including his triple double.
Yeah, and one of those that's is from insane. Like the 80s. Like you know what I mean? Like the game has just from where the game has evolved to now, that's just like, it's kind of unheard of.
I think it's harder to do that now than it was, you know, in the 80s. So
definitely
that's shout out to him for that. But you knew that the adjustment was going to happen. There was no way.
And it did.
It did.
Oh, yeah. I think they realized that you can't really put, I think they had LeBron, or was it Morris on Butler throughout the last game, throughout his 40-point game?
Yeah.
And I think they realized that he's too strong. Like, you can't have, like, even players that are slightly bigger than him guarding him because he's just – his center of balance is so good. Like, he gets in the air, and then he still gets his shot off and then initiates contact. Like, it's crazy. So they made the adjustment we saw where they had AD on him. I think throughout I noticed it in the fourth. People say, oh, he was guarding him all game, but I noticed it in the fourth, when Jimmy was so reluctant to shoot and AD was giving him so much space to kind of dare him into it. And then that's, I think we saw that's when his style of play kind of reared its head. And yeah, like and it's weird because I feel like it was such a statement to have AD guarding Butler, because what we saw was Butler have his 40-point game, and you know, Giannis refused to, not refused, but was not put on him in those final moments versus the Bucks. So, yeah. And then afterwards, you had LeBron saying, you know, that's why he's the defensive player of the year. So we got really messy the other
LeBron night. LeBron is so petty. Oh my
he
God.
He really is, man. But like,
he's petty, like making court, narratives right? No like, one's thinking about.
Yeah, like, where did that come exactly. from? Like, relax, bro.
His mind is just court, moving like, all the time. Yeah. He's a showman, like.
Yeah.
He's like creating his own obstacles and stuff.
Like, no one even said anything about, like, AD's probably coming for the finals MVP, so he needs to watch his back.
And it's funny because it's so left field. Like, Giannis is just, he was eliminated like a month ago. He's in Athens right now.
I feel so bad whenever they take shots at him. I'm like, just leave this poor guy alone. They make it such a America versus like wherever, like
the world, yeah.
Nigeria, exactly. Like, leave him alone. Stop making him. They pick on him so easily, and it's just like, hey, he's gonna let it go. It's just because they know he's a good guy. He's not gonna say anything. But yeah. LeBron, like, do you have to make yourself so unlikable? Like, just stop talking for 2 seconds. You're part of Clutch Sports and the Lakers. Like, you got AD on your team. Can you? You have no room to make any comments.
Yeah, I'm gonna take back what I said before, though, about LeBron not being dramatic on the court, because he absolutely is. Because he did that whole thing about telling Jimmy Butler he was in trouble.
Like, and then he walked off.
He's incredibly dramatic. He's incredibly dramatic off. On the court.
The walk off. I hated the walk off. I don't know. And then so I felt crazy. Really weird, because when I looked the next day, I was like, all right, like, there's got to be people freaking out about this like I am. And the only other person was like Skip Bayless. And I was like, this is bad company.
What does that say about me? I know.
Yeah, we're the only people that were upset at it, I guess.
I don't know. I just feel
no, I don't like it either.
I feel like they would have had like an honest shot if half their team didn't get injured at like the exact same.
It would have been more. It would have been a more interesting series, right. That's for sure. But I think that.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I think that the Lakers have been kind of holding back when it comes to adjustments. Like, we saw with, they're still starting every game with Dwight Howard. I don't know why. I think it's just to kind of flex their flexibility to the Miami Heat. And they still have things that I could see that they could still do. Like, they put AD on Butler really late. Mm-hmm. So even with the presence of Dragic, I'm not sure that it would have, I think they just would have put AD at the five full time. And it might not have made too much of a difference. But I think we would have definitely have gotten a way more watchable series. I think the last game was the most interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the most competitive. Like, I did not know who was going to win that game. You know, even during Butler's 40-point triple-double, I had a feeling that Miami's was going to win regardless. Like, yeah. I didn't feel like that the Lakers really had anything that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a bit about KCP all of a sudden?
Like, yes,
really good basketball. I was just like, why is he all of a sudden so clutch? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
Although we were kind of talking about this like the last time when we were like, Yasmin, I know you said it, I think maybe we all did a little bit, but just like that the Lakers have made us feel like we don't know anything about basketball, or like we couldn't have like had the future sight to see this, but like maybe they somehow knew, like, you're gonna have all these guys like become clutch suddenly, like in the finals. I mean, KCP, he's played for a lot of teams, so obviously he's got a lot of like, I think he's got a lot of experience as kind of like a road player, but like it's very weird to see him like become so clutch. But I mean, I like it. I like him as a player.
Yeah. The offense was so just in molasses, like those final I want to say the final 5 minutes. And then it felt like his layups were just like, oh my God. Like, he's the one who's closing this out, just as we predicted. It was him, LeBron, and Hero that were just trading layups and baskets. So, yeah, that was – and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think we saw the double-edged sword of Tyler Hero's confidence other night, where it can be so incredibly rewarding, but also it can be very punishing, like – I see some of the shots he takes, like those 22 seconds left on the clock, on the shot clock, and he's taking pull-up threes in transition. And I'm like, I feel like that shot is like reserved for like very few players in the NBA, and he was over there pulling up from there. So
I thought he was Steph Curry for a second.
Like, yeah, and then he was closing out for them. Like, he was hitting clutch mid-range shots.
That's why I feel like I'm okay with him taking any shots, because I'm just like, you know what? He's earned it at this point. This guy's what? Like, he was in high school 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's look at the freaking stage he's on now. I know. I'm like, don't tell me about all these players who are younger than me. I don't want to hear it.
I'm here like doing a Zoom call.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm here doing a Zoom conference at noon, and they're actually like working their bodies off and making millions of dollars. But yeah, it's so unfair.
I know.
But I'm not even sure that Tyler Hero is like a net positive on offense. Like, all I know is that he'll make his presence known. I'm not sure if he's like a negative, a positive, a zero. All I know is that, like, I think people were calling him like a chaotic evil on the court. Yeah. I think he's like a chaotic neutral, because I don't know what he does. But I feel like it's his presence is just known on the court.
I mean, that's something I wanted to ask everybody, was like, what we think. Are the Lakers lawful, neutral, or chaotic evil as a team?
Chaotic evil. They have all these players randomly. Like, I will not be surprised if Danny Green has like a 20-point game at this point, because it would just be so like, it would just make sense.
It's like, of course.
Like, of course. So something kind of true again. Like, I don't know what, like, the only constants here are AD and LeBron. But even then, I don't know who's going to be the person that's going to get. Well, I guess you can assume that LeBron's going to get the finals MVP because he's LeBron. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't have like
his
name and the, you know, the tenure and everything, I honestly feel like AD would be getting finals MVP. That's how.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. But AD was so bad in game three. Yeah, like, he was so bad. I think that it will, regardless, I think it'll come down to if LeBron has a good game and AD has a good game, LeBron is winning finals MVP. But I feel like if LeBron is okay, but AD has like a historic night, it might give him the edge. But I think LeBron is ahead right now. Well, also, I think the Lakers are, I'm going to call them a lawful evil. Because I feel like they're just, they have two top five players. I feel like that's just legally they should be here. You know what I mean?
Can you take into account that they want it to be a Cinderella story?
That's so dumb.
Do you know how much that makes me angry?
That's why it's evil. They're a lawful evil.
Like, no, we're a Cinderella story. We've got LeBron,
like, when their fans are like, we're in a playoff drought. Like, we've been in this playoff drought for so long. We're overdue for a championship.
They literally have the best player in the world next to AD. And then they have the audacity.
They took a small break from like an era of Kobe Bryant. Like, they want to make it seem like they are the Clippers, who haven't been to the Eastern Conference ever or the Western Conference ever.
Like, but even for this year, they're like, oh, nobody saw us coming. Nobody saw us doing this.
You were favorite.
You have LeBron.
Yeah, everybody saw it.
AD. Like, what are you talking about? They want the best of both worlds, and we're not dumb. Like, as the audience, we're not stupid. We can see that you're lying to us. Like, shut up. We're the Cinderella story. Angry.
Before the Miami series, I said, give it to, I think the game was on Wednesday. I said, give it to Wednesday. The Lakers will be the underdog, just strictly from narrative building and stuff. And they almost were, because people were like, oh, look at Miami. They went through a gauntlet in the East. They went through the Bucks, through the Celtics, through a Pacers team. That was the toughest first round matchup, blah, blah, blah. And no, they're the favorites. And I honestly, I have a feeling that the Heat edge out game five, I want to say.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they were like so close this game. And I feel like they're going to take it personally and come out swinging. But at the same time, for LeBron, I feel like he tastes it. Like, it's right there. He might be just trying to close it out and get the hell out of that bubble. Like, I have a feeling it's
going to feed some brownie.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Nope, I don't think it's a blowout.
I think it's going to be interesting. Yeah. Because we have people like Crowder, who I don't think he's going to lay down and let the Lakers just get the chance. Not like there are certain players, like I don't see Jimmy being like, okay, yeah, we lost this, or Jay Crowder being like, okay, yeah, we lost this. Like there's absolutely Iguodala, there's absolutely no way that next game is going to be like a battle. They're gonna fight as hard as they possibly can.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a game 7.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It is an elimination game. Yeah,
I think also just like coming out. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, I think the Lakers are gonna pull it out, but I think Miami's gonna give it a real,
yeah,
a real shot.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I think you're gonna have a game where like Bam's got his legs under him a little bit more than he did in this game. Hopefully, like he's getting some treatments like in the interim. I think there's something to be said for like what the Heat sort of taking this a little bit more personally. Like, I almost feel like in that game 3, like obviously, you know, the Heat really like cranked it out in the last 2 minutes, and it was like going to be hard for the Lakers to close that gap. But it was also like that they kind of just blew up, and I feel like the Heat doesn't necessarily have that in them. Like, I think there's a certain expectation maybe with the Lakers, you know, for things like when you've got so many like clutch players on the team, like, okay, like someone's just going to shoulder this so I won't have to, but if they're not communicating who that is, then like nobody's going to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the next game will be like pretty scrappy.
Yeah.
Crowder and LeBron fight.
Who?
Crowder.
No, because they're like,
they're so mad at LeBron.
He's so mad at LeBron. He's gonna get in a fight, man. Okay. Like Crowder would, but I don't know if LeBron like is gonna be the.
He's gonna be like, initially.
Yeah. I don't think he would. He's too much of like, I'm a professional. Like I'm a good sport, but I'm a professional. Even though I walked off the court with 10 seconds.
I know.
Did you guys think of that, him walking off the court with 10 seconds left? Because that's like a signature LeBron thing. If he loses, he's leaving the court with seconds left.
I hate it. Like I said, this man Skip, we're so mad about it.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I mean, like, if you've lost, why are you going to – like, I get when players do that.
Yeah, I would do the same.
I'm a pro loser, though. Like, I don't like – like, if I lose, what am I here for?
But the problem was like everyone else was like, oh, we're done, I guess. So then I was just like, then they didn't even have enough guys like to
on
get
the court. On the court. Yeah.
Like Jared Dudley, like bless his heart, got some minutes, I guess, or like seconds, not even minutes. But like, yeah, otherwise, like nobody, like there wasn't enough guys left to like finish the game.
That's true. Like Miami. The Lakers shouldn't be walking off with LeBron. LeBron's like the only person who has earned walking off with 10 seconds. Like why? Why is Caruso following closely behind? Like, stay on the court, fill in for him for a moment. God, it's so weird. I guess that's the thing that annoys me about them. Both LA teams are kind of like that, where all the role players have kind of taken on the persona of their superstars for no reason.
I feel like that
maybe good.
Gotten to LeBron in the bubble too. Like another reason why he probably wants to go home. He's like, Alex Caruso just following him around at the pool. Like, you can't shake Anthony Davis. Like, Kyle Kuzma's like, bro, like, is this cool? Like, look at me. Like, look what I'm doing. Like,
look at the way I dribble, Bron. Did you like that one? Can I use it next game?
It's so funny because LeBron just treats him like a pest on the court.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, I don't like to look into on court, like, you know, I think that on the court, like, we can read into things that don't look like what they look like, but Kuzma is a pest to LeBron. Like, the way he yells at him when he messes up, it's so mean. Like, I think there was one where he fouled. Whenever he messes up on defense, like, he is so mean to him, like, just yelling. And I think that LeBron is yelling at the ref, and then I look and I'm like, no, on the replay, he's clearly yelling at Kuzma.
I can't deal.
Like, I understand holding your young players accountable. It's not that though. It's he is like, he's like, you're messing up my moment. Get the hell out of the way.
I guess if anyone is watching and has questions, feel free to ask them. We'll answer them if we haven't yet. If no more questions about Carl Anthony Towns' relationship, though, we've definitely covered that.
We've covered everything. Yeah. I actually want to ask you guys. I saw this post. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I saw this post on Twitter that was saying that it was comparing AD and Giannis currently and saying that AD is better than Giannis. What do you guys think about that?
I saw a Bucks fan that put it best, that AD's like clearly having a better postseason than Giannis, but I still think Giannis is the better player. Like, I think Giannis is just more, he's a better passer. He doesn't have the face-up game, but he's just so much more assertive. And like, AD, I don't know if you watch him like frequently, but this guy, he has a tendency to kind of mentally take him out himself out of games. Yeah, and that's something I never see with Giannis. Like Giannis, you will never see Giannis have like a 15 point quiet night. But that happens sometimes with AD, even though their numbers are probably not too different. But I don't know. I just see this intensity from that Giannis. That's more of like a number one player in the league type energy.
It's also so much easier to play better when you have LeBron James on your team and he's getting attention. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
If LeBron had Giannis, he'd like, it would be, instead of five game series, it would be four game series. Wow.
I think Giannis, every round,
like a better all-round player at this point. You know what I mean? And like, I think, yeah, he's got like a different kind of maybe tenacity and like even his conditioning. Like one thing that struck me, and like, I don't know if it's just because I wasn't watching that many Lakers games this season, but like, and I don't mean this in a rude way. Like, I certainly don't mean this in a way that it's going to sound like, but like, is Anthony Davis extremely fragile? And I don't, like, I don't mean that in like a masculine way. Like,
I know what you mean. Play.
But like, he got knocked down a lot and would just like be on the ground, like,
would just stay there. Yeah. Just nap there for a little bit.
Twitter was calling him like a Nature Valley bar because he would crumble. he like gets down and does not get up for a while, or that like I feel like he's low-key taking breathers because I think that he's a big guy who's playing big minutes right now and he's not he's not as mobile as some people would have you believe. You know, his like, it's not even a conditioning issue, it's just he's so huge that of course he's gonna labor playing so many minutes. And that's not something you really see. Like, like we wouldn't know with Giannis because he only plays like what 29 minutes a game.
Good point.
But he's just like also,
I think with AD too, like he's in a position that he's not like comfortable with. Like he doesn't want to be playing the five. Like if it's up to him, he's, you know, point guard AD, right? So I think that's part of it too, is like he gets kind of like, especially in games where he's playing the five, he kind of psychs himself out because he doesn't like it. He's not really happy playing that position. He's doing it because it's going to lead to a championship, but that's not necessarily the position he wants to be in. So I think that's part of it too. Like Giannis knows his position. He accepts it. Everybody else on the team accepts it. AD hasn't even accepted the position that he's in. That's going to help them win. So I think that's also part of the difference there.
And I also think like if you look at them individually, you gave Giannis a team and you also gave AD a team in the past. What did each of them do with their teams? Giannis made their team number one and AD had to leave his team to join with the Lakers by his way out. So when you put in that perspective, like recency bias is a huge thing. You can say whatever you want, but Giannis, like, is, I would take Giannis 10 times out of 10.
That's why I love the offseason. I love the offseason because I feel like everyone just kind of fizzles out with their beliefs, and then the regular season begins and people go back to normal with what they thought. He would have to have like a historic game five for people to kind of rank him above Giannis consistently. Like I don't know if AD has like I'm sure he does, but like I, with all the talent in the league, like will he win like a regular season MVP? I'm not sure. Alongside LeBron, will he win it anytime soon? I don't think so. And that all has like a factor into how he's ranked. So,
and I think, I mean, if we're talking about that, LeBron takes MVPs very seriously, like regular season, clearly. So there's no way if he's the team 80s winning.
LeBron's like 37. Pushing him out the way. You asked for this, AD.
The way he started a narrative about, oh, he's not a good player and he's not a good teammate, like that would be a mess. There's no way.
One thing that has been like kind of interesting to watch though, just from like a technical like gameplay perspective, is like that the Lakers are choosing to really like capitalize on being able to have like multiple big men on the floor at one time. And I feel like for the whole, like kind of most of the bubble, but definitely the postseason, like everyone went small ball, right? So it's like, it's very strange to see like two big guys just like two big guys out there at the same time. And I think, you know, the Heat obviously don't have an answer for it right now. So I think they're kind of capitalizing on it. But I wonder just like as a trend, like as a playing trend piece, like if that's going to shift anything next season. I don't know.
Yeah, I got to say, like during the last night's game, when I saw AD on Jimmy and LeBron on Bam, I got really like upset because I envisioned Siakam on Jimmy and OG on Bam. And I'm like, it could have worked. We could have done the same thing.
You know,
like, don't do that to me.
Like, one thing the Lakers really have is they have like that flexibility where they can go small and do it better than you, like we saw versus the Rockets, and then they can go big and do it better than you. And we saw how they combated, like the Heat like to run one of their big men with Bam sometimes, and they had an answer for that. And that's like the one thing that you need in a league where there's far more parity right now is you need like flexibility. You need to be able to go super small and super big at all times. You need to have a decent amount of wings, which the Lakers actually do. Like they have big guys that can go on your point guards, and they have wings that can match up with yours. Like they're just like kind of equipped for this, even though they don't. I think we're comparing them a lot to last year's teams and champions and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, then they look super inadequate because you had like the championship Raptors who had elite role players at every position. Sure, they don't have that, but like they have what they need. I think they've shown that they could use more shooting, and they could probably use like an actual point guard, which they can probably get over the course of the next offseason. I think that they can make peripheral changes and still compete at a high level next year. So yeah, like that's one thing they had going for them this season is that flexibility. And also Frank Vogel has been pretty impressive. I don't think people are going to look at him as like Ty Lue, where it was LeBron. Everyone thought he was like behind everything. No, like Vogel has made like very timely adjustments really throughout the playoffs. Like he does not wait too long. He likes to like put his imprint, make people adjust to him sometimes, and answer like pretty adequately. Like he's been pretty impressive to me.
I think there was like one where he was like mic'd up and they had him in like the huddle and he was like, the ball is a vibe, and if we chase the vibe then we're gonna yeah, and he's like, the vibe's gonna turn around, and I was like, what is this?
Did you hear him talk about all
Los Angeles ass like coaching strategy?
did you hear him say that Rondo gives them offensive swag?
Oh my god.
No, you didn't. Like, stop.
What's with the terminology?
It's just like, you have like, to chase the vibe.
Chase the vibe. He curates
that's
the
my
vibe.
New, that's my new bio. Chase the vibe. Oh that's my god. Get vibe here more LA.
Instead of post.
Yeah. Like, oh.
A nurse would never. He compared it to like some sort of like folk lyric he heard like 4 years ago or something. Oh my god.
He would have a good analogy or whatever. Ugh. I know. The thing with the Lakers this year, I think I said this before too. They are just proving to me that I may not know as much about basketball as I think. I did not have them where they are right now. I thought it would be the Clippers. I didn't think they had enough flower power outside of AD and LeBron. But to their credit, those guys that have to come through, they have come through, and they've put on a show. They've helped the LeBron and AD. Does it suck? Yeah. Like, I don't want to see Lakers win. I'm sorry. I'm not on the same team, but it's interesting to see what they would do next year. Cause like you guys said, they do need a PG. I don't, you know, it'd be fun to see who they try to acquire. I know the Knicks are trying to shop CP3 right now, so we can see like just
perfect.
Yeah,
I don't imagine CP3.
That'd be really perfect for the franchise.
I don't even think you need like a big budget, like superstar caliber point guard. Like they can get like a Monty Morris, even like just someone who knows their role and who can distribute and shoot better than Rondo. Like I think that's all they need. But
I mean, Rondo's been pretty good though.
He has been, yeah. Like, what the hell? He's good. Really good. 3 points, 9 assists. Very weird.
He wants to get that record. I don't know. He would be like the second player who won a ring on the Celtics and the Lakers, I think, like the second player in history to do it. And I think he wants that very badly. That's what he's playing for.
You know what's actually hilarious? Is that we were so mad at Danny Green, but he's about to get like a ring on like, 3 different teams. Like, and it just cracks me up because he's not doing jack.
He's not doing anything.
This guy's just sailing his way.
The world makes no sense, man. It makes no sense.
I love like, happy for Danny. Grifting his way to another championship.
Grifting his way to another ring. Danny
Green. He's going to get his second before his Raptors won. Like, that's insane. That's nuts.
He hasn't even been able to see the ring. He's getting another one.
I hope the Raptors just ship it to him. Like, we don't need a ceremony right now.
I
like,
I want to see the ceremony.
Really?
I feel like Danny was so, like, I honestly feel like he wanted to be in Toronto and he really loved the culture here.
I think that's why
he deserves the love. He deserves the. Yeah, you didn't really do much in the finals, but we love you.
I feel like he had a perfect role in Toronto because the Lakers asked him to do so much that he can't do. The Raptors never asked him to do more than he could, and we didn't notice his horrible games. You know what I mean?
At all. Like, I don't remember him.
Because all it meant is that he missed shots, but now he's missing shots. He has the turnovers and stuff, and you can tell he's just kind of out of his depth because they need something from the guard position so badly.
Right.
But he's not the guy.
He got
saved with his turnovers at the Raptors. Like, if he really had that one turnover against the Warriors, I couldn't imagine how his legacy would have ended here. Like, I don't think we would have wanted to ship him anything.
Goes to game 7 and it's over.
Oh my goodness.
Should we talk about the East? Next season?
Sure. Sorry?
Oh, I just want to tell, like, I don't know. I've seen this go, like, this kind of talk already, and I think it's so funny, just like who's going to be number one in the East next season. And just like, I don't really know that it's going to be all that different than what it was this year. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, we do have to consider that KD and Kyrie, if it works,
could
be very, very dangerous. But it does depend on who they decide to ship out. Like,
yeah,
like who are they going to just, you know, they're like, oh, this is not working, or oh, this is, you know, we want this. I wonder how they're gonna put the team together. I'm kind of worried a little bit hearing Kyrie talk about how the team is going to be coached, because it's not.
No, it's like a mentality. Everybody's gonna be like, have a different like metaphysical approach to coaching and how they want to coach them.
Solid gas liquid.
Some people need structure, right?
Yes.
So if Nash is gonna be more of a chill, let KD and Kyrie do their thing, and the other players don't F with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I feel like the top of the East was already so competitive. Yeah. Like, the top five was so competitive this year, and it's only going to be more so next year. I don't think the Sixers suck as bad as they did this year. Like, even I don't see them being like the sixth seed. I think they were the sixth seed. I don't think that happens again. I think that literally every team in the top has the potential to get better. I don't know what happens with the Bucks, but whatever it is, they're probably going to be the number one seed. I feel like their formula is just perfect for the regular season. Yeah. Giannis is probably even a little better than he even was this season, and he was MVP. I think the Raptors, it depends on what they choose to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what will happen, but I think the worst that happens is that perhaps they trade like a key player and they go to like the 50, but even then they're still competing. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's going to be so interesting. I feel like the top of the East is going to once again be way stronger than the top of the West. And also the Warriors are coming back. And I don't think they're going to be like the 73-19 that people think they will be. I think the league has kind of adjusted to the style of play that the Warriors do. I think the defenses have adjusted.
I think they've all just had Nick Nurse's influence. Like now everyone knows how to how to defend the Warriors.
I think Nick Nurse I feel like he spearheaded like a defensive systems to catch up to the dynamic offenses of today. Like I feel like I think he follows like a line of coaches who've contributed to that, but his creativity and has really just like helped simmer down like historic offenses really well. And I feel like the NBA is going to be really fun next year. And I hope they present it in a nice way. Like I don't want a bubble again. If it's going to be a bubble again, just wait. Like I do not mind waiting a couple more months if it means fans will be in an arena.
Honestly, same. I feel like maybe that was
going to work. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
From what I gather, apparently Adam Silver wants to have, like, even before the vaccine, he wants to have like half fans in the audience or something like that, and maybe have two bubbles instead of one bubble or something like that. I'm not too sure. So, but that means that we wouldn't be based in Toronto. We'd be based in the States for that, then, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's it. Like, no team.
Let's go to Detroit.
In Canada.
Yeah, they couldn't do that here.
So all the traveling fans would have to essentially do what they do.
I mean, I had heard, Michelle Roberts talk about the idea of, like, regional bubbles was kind of being floated, which I didn't think was, like, such a bad idea, honestly.
Regional bubbles, perhaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just would say, like, with the fan thing, that's just so tough. And like, look at like the NFL trying to do that right now. It's just like, you know, it takes like very little for it to fall apart. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it was Adam Silver who spoke about like innovating like some sort of even quicker testing, which I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's like a breathalyzer that tells you if you have COVID. But so they did like innovate that form of like, what was it, 30-minute testing, 15-minute testing for the bubble, which has really helped keep cases non-existent in Orlando for them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like there's a lot riding on it.
Like public health, I'm more Canada than like in the States, but like if the NBA was to implement something like that, like how like glaring is it then, like how messed up the American like public health system is, not it's to like totally go down this road, but like like for a huge corporation to basically be like, we'll front the money to get fans in so we can like make more money, and then we've like also invented this new test that the government could like not get behind, and we're gonna like test people and like give them results that like they also can't get there, like that's its own maybe like nefarious like road.
Yeah, the optics are already terrible.
Yes.
I mean, like Trump said not to be scared of COVID. I don't think anybody in the States cares at this point. Like, if they don't care that 200,000 plus people have died, I mean, they're going to find a way to make money off fans coming in through. Anyway, like, in a couple of months, like, I honestly feel like, particularly in the States, it's going to get to a point where they go about things normally.
They already have. I feel
they are in so many places.
Sign a waiver,
they just don't even care.
Sign a waiver saying there's a potential that you might catch COVID and die. Mm-hmm. You sign it, and
honestly, and Godspeed.
At this point, I feel like the only people that are going to be tested are the athletes, because they bring the money. Everybody else that's watching, you signed the waiver. You said yes, there's a chance I might catch COVID. I'm cool with it. And you're going to go watch your sports. That's essentially what's going to happen, because I don't see them taking real
precautions. Yeah, maybe the court is like in an actual dome, like a fishbowl, like a kind of a fishbowl effect to keep the players like even safer.
Like a snow globe. Yeah.
Like a snow globe. Now we had the NBA bubble. We're going to have the NBA snow globe now.
Just in time.
It's probably going to be in the wintertime.
Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hold the whole thing in Canada, take it to the Arctic.
They should.
That'd be so cool. Like, I'm not even joking.
Oh man, I really took it down the public health road.
It's okay. It's about talk about.
That's where it went. We take it to the tundra, take the MBA to the tundra.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's it. I don't know.
Does anybody,
have any questions for us?
Questions?
Questions? Would you like us to answer in a British manner?
We'll answer them in accent.
Dude, mine sucks. Mine starts British and ends Southern. I have no friggin' idea what I'm talking about. It's so bad.
Wow, no questions today?
No questions.
Brutal. Come on.
This is so rude.
Ask us anything.
Like literally anything. You just want to answer some questions.
Well,
until 1:30.
How do you guys feel about those crazy trade scenarios for Lowry?
Which one?
Like the one. Okay, let's start out. We'll go down a rabbit hole right now. Oh, actually, no, we got a question. Never mind. Depot in free agency? Question mark.
How many guys are yeses?
I was thinking yes, but then I heard Will Lose podcast, and I'm like,
oh no,
why is he making me doubt it? I wanted it so bad.
What did he say?
I think he just like realistically spoke about like his cap hold and stuff, and it just seemed kind of unrealistic.
It's just like you kind of forfeit the big free agency the next summer.
Yeah, it's complicated. Like
yeah.
And already complicated enough to try to pay OG Anunoby, so maybe you don't muddy it up even worse.
Yeah.
I'd love to have old people on the team.
No, that's true. Famous.
I mean, I think he would be a great culture fit. I think it would be motivating. I feel like part of the reason why you've seen a slip in his ability and in his just his court presence is motivation. I don't think he feels like the team itself can really get to a championship. And it's been clear through his comments, especially his conversation with Fat Joe, which confuses me.
That's so odd.
Like what? But yeah, his conversation with Fat Joe, you could tell that he really, really wants a championship. And I think having that motivation and having a team like Toronto's team, which will take care, help him take care of his injury. Mm-hmm. I think we could see the depot that we saw, you know, 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but if it is, then we have the kind of offensive usage that we need on the team. Mm-hmm. However, we would probably have to trade Fred to get him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
trade off
a sure thing for a rent.
A maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, no, I know. It's high risk, high reward, right? Because if he goes
to
the player he was 3 years ago.
I also think that Oladipo might be kind of a dark horse in 2021 free agency to perhaps join an already good team on a lesser contract.
I hope
just so he can win at a high level.
I hope so. Like, I really want that for him. Like, whether
if someone can give him decent money and offer him years, I feel like he's the dark horse to actually take that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's on a weird timeline. He's already turning 29 soon, and then he has his injury history, and then he wants his ring soon. So
I feel all the stuff never aligned for him. Like he never got the break and the boost he needed.
Yeah. So he might just fix it so that he can get that ring and join an already good established contender. So make it a super team.
And I would probably hold out for Jamal Murray, to be honest.
That guy.
Sorry? I don't know. So I'd probably hold out for Jamal Murray, to be honest.
I'm not letting him go. You should just let that go.
Too bad.
2025. He's a free agent in 2025. And
the Nuggets will, there is absolutely no way they're letting that, unless he gets injured.
No, Sandy, we're planning a heist.
Yeah, Norris.
This is a diamond heist. Let's go.
2025.
Norris playing the long game.
Heist movie.
But I mean, we have Giannis. and Pascal.
Mm, yeah.
No, but 2025, yeah, already after what? Two three-peats? So. No, it's
now it's a new era.
By then, they're old news.
Speaking of eras, I do wonder what our new era is going to be. Are we going to stick with We the North? Are we changing?
I wonder. I'm a little biased. I love We the North. So yeah, we should just stick to We the North forever. I actually want to get that on a shirt. I'm waiting to find the proper manufacturer.
I'm over That's We the what North. But like,
yeah, we should do the North.
Yeah,
I feel like once 2021 hits, they should probably close the chapter on it and
move
into a new era. Because I feel like now, as long as Larry is a main star on the team, we're in the We the North era. Yeah. But as soon as he takes like an even more secondary role, then
we're Africa's team.
Yeah, then we're
Team Giannis and Pascal. Then after Team Africa, it's Team Canada because Jamal Murray is going to be here.
Every final will be a world war. The narrative is there.
Oh, that would be crazy. I know. That would be amazing.
Oh, I love that.
They would be so mad. Oh, my God.
They would be petty. Like, there's would be nothing holding back.
And OG. Oh, my gosh. The pettiness you would hear would be amazing.
You gotta keep search for that. We have to keep search for that.
Old search finding the place.
But like, we're hated because our team is so good.
So I'm guessing you guys think that for next season, the team should run it back
as much as possible. I think because like, what other moves? There's like not to me like there's not that many attractive options out there. You don't want to I said like forfeit your big move that everybody knows you're gonna make next summer. Or whatever the off-season falls. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, like, Larry, I think they kind of aligned it so all the pieces just, like, fit into, like, this season and the next season. I don't know. Like, aside from, like, I think maybe, I don't know. I know that it was, like, there might not be truth to the Gasol rumors, but I feel like that might be one of those things that's, like, spoken into existence, you know, because of it. Yeah. Like, maybe Mark goes... You know what I mean? Like, someone has to go, but I think largely it's going to look more or less the same. I think it should. Like, it doesn't hurt.
100%.
Like, the money makes sense. Like, it's fine.
And you got
so close in the postseason. Like, and you did that without anyone contributing to the offense, and that it was just Kyle. And literally, I can't go down this road again.
I refuse to go down the Lowry. I won't go down
the
Lowry.
Can't do it.
I think that, but, yeah. They've kind of earned the right to just kind of bank on the talent and development of the core, like the young guys who are entering their prime. I think that it's worth waiting and seeing what they become, like or just banking on them making small steps forward, which I think is totally possible. It's totally possible.
They already have. They've done so much that just I don't think we have anything.
Yeah. Fringe changes and growth in their game would be enough to take this team over the edge, I think.
And you know they will. We have the best, you know, development staff, but the best training staff. He's the Rico Hines right now. He's going to come back looking like
this. Look so good. I've missed Pascal. I was so happy.
Have you seen the video? I think it was from like today or yesterday. Like he somehow looked like bigger now. Like he looks
apparently
really good.
Apparently that was an older video.
Oh,
that's what I heard. Oh, yeah, that's what I saw. Because I retweeted it too, and I was like, I should have done my research. But that was apparently an older video. I'm like, whatever.
I retweeted it now. It's
over. I know that.
Take a look.
I know.
Like, the thing about Pascal is that, like, he takes, like, it was after the second LeBron sweep where he realized that he can't be on the court if he can't shoot. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, literally locked himself doing those reps in order to become, like, a passable shooter. So, like, I know that he's probably taking that loss against the Celtics so personally.
Very personally.
I think he's going to wait till I think he always waits till the superstars are available in LA in the summertime before he goes to those runs and stuff.
Yeah. The Celtics, I think, are going to be Pascal's villain origin story.
Oh.
He's going to come back and just be like, let me show you the Hulk.
And he became the Joker.
I also can't wait to see KD versus the Raptors.
Oh, God. Or Klay Thompson.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait.
We made too many enemies.
Yeah. Next season's going to be everything. It's just going to be everything.
We have to behave ourselves. We can't interview these players in the future if we keep going like this. Because I'm not going to be able to hold back. And then you're going to be like, oh, Dishes and Don is when I interview Jamal, KD, and Klay Thompson. And they're going to be like, oh, these are the bitches who were talking shit about us.
Is it like it's post game? KD has dropped 50 on us, and I'm like, they're crying. Why would you do that?
Why would you do that, KD?
Why would you do that to us? Answer me.
What's your problem?
Oh, that man's gonna be so petty next season. Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, but he's gonna be like,
question.
Oh, sorry, yeah, we do. I was just gonna say he's gonna be petty, but he's also gonna be like, he's gonna be like galaxy brain petty, which I'm excited
for. I love petty KD. Like, he takes nothing personally. Like, he's so awesome.
And take in this time, he's paired with Kyrie. Like, we are for the best entertainment of the season.
When he's like, oh, we don't need a coach. We need, you know, somebody who's, I'm like,
he hasn't even started yet. And I love it.
He hasn't even started the season yet. You guys are giving me
it's a group effort to coach.
Crowdsourced coaching staff.
Oh my god! I just want to see who's feeling like coaching today. Who wants to coach this morning? That's how they figure out their plan. Oh, get out of here!
Also, we have questions.
We have last question because I mean, you know, time's over.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Lowry becoming an actor?
Oh,
I love it.
We go in Hollywood.
He's gonna have his Kevin.
It's gonna be so good.
Moment.
I hope it's not as stressful. I hope it's like not as much of a stressful role as that was. Do you know what I mean? But
I was sorry
because I'll take it personally.
Of any like any role in Uncut Gems, the film.
That movie gave me a panic attack several times. Like, I just,
yeah, man.
The pacing of the dialogue. I'm like, they're talking too fast. I can't do this.
Did you guys actually finish it? I gave up.
No, I didn't finish it.
I finished it.
I was sitting in one spot for like 10 minutes. Like, why the hell did I watch that?
But it's such an Adam Sandler movie. I'm just like, I'm really going to sit myself through this for basketball.
I like the premise, though. This one is like, I thought it was an Adam Sandler movie, but it's actually like a LeBron production where Adam Silver was like, he was scouted to star in it. And the premise sounds hilarious. Like, I don't know if it's even a comedy, but it sounds really funny.
Apparently,
there's an American scout who finds a young player in Spain, and he like brings him to America or something.
So it sounds like
it could be really funny potentially. Yeah. It sounds like it could potentially be really funny, and I hope Kyle has like a good role. I hope it's not just a cameo, but it might be just a cameo.
It might be a cameo.
I hope it's a good role.
But I hope he like acts, and he's not just like Lowry in a movie.
Yeah, like Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, like
I have a feeling he's probably just gonna be Kyle Lowry.
But I hope he like if he's Kyle Lowry, I hope he plays up like the obnoxious, like
just take it to the extreme.
Complains every time he's on the
screen.
People
think he is, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
That'd be the best.
Love it. Lowry, do what you gotta do. We love you. Whatever you do, we're 100%.
We're making moves. At least like, you know, they're asking the Toronto Raptors to come do stuff. Like We're doing it. We're making it big. I like
Apparently, it was because LeBron couldn't fit him in Space Jam. So he promised to spot him on a next film.
I don't like that.
That's so sweet. Larry, look, everybody likes you. You're like,
it's awesome. Sweet, but like, he should have.
Are they close?
Fit him into Space Jam.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Does he realize the millions of Canadian viewers that literally would have paid for a ticket just to see Lowry?
Literally.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think they take into account that people actually live in Canada. Like, they never realize that, like, we actually have viewers here. Like, we give a shit about this.
He's like a legitimate superstar here. Like, he might not be in the US. He's like top 20.
I would kiss his feet. Like, we would get on our knees from the ground. I can't say the others. Stop talking to her. But, like, it's just, we love him. Like, we would die for him. And they just don't get it. And, like, that's crazy to me, too. Cause I'm like, if other players saw the way that we treat our franchise players, like, who wouldn't want to come play for us? Who wouldn't want to have 3 million people just in Toronto alone, cheering you on?
That was like the biggest thing about the championship was that it kind of gave a stage to how insane Canadians can be, like, in a good way. Like, if you want someone to just kind of bolster your legacy and help you kind of ascend, like, the thing is, Kawhi wasn't, he was a star. He was an all-star. He was an all-NBA caliber player, but he ascended to, like, superstar status that season, with that full season with the Raptors and the championship. And all. So, yeah, like, if you want to make that next step, come to Canada.
Jamal, come home. Yeah. It's we the Canada. We the Kitchener.
What, the last question?
Oh, boy.
Is that, yeah, I think that's it.
I think that's, okay. I think that's it.
We're just over all an right. hour.
Yeah. That's good. I didn't think we'd have that much to talk about, but check it out.
By the way, we've become experts at, like, because of that long hiatus of just talking about something very well.
Everyone asks me, they're like, so what do you guys do in the off season? Like, what do you even talk about? And I'm like, don't even question. Don't even worry about that. We will come to you with content.
We'll make an episode out of, like, a single tweet. Like, we got this.
Like, we literally just talked.
The beauty of being women. All right. We can talk about anything.
Yep. All right, everyone. Well, is this our Thank you for tuning in to Hoop Talks.
I think we're going to have one potentially next week. I mean, depending how the finals go and what happens. And maybe any news.
Just to kind of review the season and everything.
Just like a farewell, a fond farewell.
And all right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.